Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
We're going to start this broadcast outright with some great music by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. But first, I want to encourage you to pray for the United States of America, especially as regards the upcoming presidential election. Well-known Christian broadcaster Janet Parshall is offering her thoughts on how Christians should evaluate a person who is running for president. Like other Christian leaders, she reminds Americans that while they are not choosing a pastor-in-chief when electing a president, Christians should still use biblical principles when deciding who is the best candidate they can support for the White House. Do your best to research the beliefs and voting record of the candidates, and then vote your conscience. We need God's help in this election, and so we need to pray for our leaders and pray that God will bless America. And now let's get to that music. From their project entitled Top of My Lungs, this is Phillips, Craig, and Dean singing Amazed.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You paint the sky with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm
how deep,
how deep,
how deep. how you love me.
Lord, you love me.
Oh, I'm amazed by you.
Lord, I'm amazed every day. So amazed how you love me, Lord.
Recently at Christian Apostolic Church, I delivered a message entitled Don't Doubt God's Heart. We're going to air that for you in just a few moments, and you're sure to be encouraged, strengthened, and blessed by it. But first, let me mention quickly that my third novel, which completes the trilogy, is out. It's entitled The Last Buy. If you enjoyed the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, then you're really going to enjoy this novel. I've been telling people all along that instead of C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy, this novel is more like The Flying Dinosaur and His Boy. It's getting rave reviews. One editorial reviewer stated unequivocally that it is better than C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy. Again, the title is The Last Buy. That's B-Y-E, as in journey. It's available in paperback or ebook. The ebook is offered through the Kindle platform, readable on PC, Mac, iPhone, iPad, iPod, BlackBerry, and of course, all the variety of Kindle devices. Read a large sample for free at Amazon.com or AuthorStock.com. The paperback version is available wherever great books are sold. And now, let's get to that message entitled, Don't Doubt God's Heart. We aired part one of this message in a prior broadcast, and today we're picking it up with part two. In the prior broadcast, we talked about how that when you doubt God's heart, it causes you to doubt His words, which leads to sin. Inward doubt leads to outward sin. Inward faith leads to outward miracles. In this section of the message, we talk about the fact that having an earthly father who's either ungodly or absent can affect your ability to relate to God as your heavenly father, and ways to get around that. Here we go.
I remember my mother telling me things about my early childhood when my father went off to serve in the Vietnam War, that some of us children were too young to really miss him. We were too young to understand. But that my oldest brother Jason was just old enough. And for the longest time after my dad went off to Vietnam, my mama said that my oldest brother, he would come to her and he would say, "Where did that daddy go?" Day after day. "Where did that daddy go?" No way to explain it to him. And mama said that when he came home, Jason was the only one who remembered him, the oldest brother. The rest of us had no clue who this man was. But over the years, we came to find out that the oldest brother's relationship with this man was the one most frail and most damaged and most troubled. And my mother said that my oldest brother, Jason, he was learning how to speak. And he's the oldest brother, so he doesn't have any siblings above him to learn from. Dr. James Dobson talks about the fact that boys' brains are not as geared for verbal communication or really linguistics of any kind to the degree that girls' brains are. He says that girls, on average, practically always learn to talk earlier, more, better. They tend to write more, write better, go to a daycare. In one area of the room, you'll find girls communicating with one another at a tea party. "How is your tea?" "My tea is fine." "How has your day been?" "My day is fine." In the other end of the room, you'll have boys going, "Pow!" This is how they communicate. And when they do speak, it's to say, "You're dead. I shot you. You're dead." My oldest brother was learning to speak, and he did not have siblings to learn from. And each new word was a triumph. Dr. Dobson has noted that men, during the average day, speak half as many words as a woman does. I don't remember the exact statistic, but it was something like 1,000 words versus 2,000, or 1,500 versus 3,000, or something like that. And he said that men get to a point near the end of the day where talking hurts their brain. They're all talked out. They've used up all their words. They don't have any more. So they come in after a long day's work and they just want to be numb and silent. One comedian says, when you ask us what we're thinking and we say nothing, we really mean nothing. My mom said my dad would get home from working his job there on the Air Force base. And he would come in and he would sit down. And my mom would want to connect with her husband. She would want emotional intimacy. She would want communication. She would want contact with this man that she married. And in order to block her off, he would put the newspaper between her and him. And every question that she tried to lure him into a conversation, he would either grunt or give no answer, or at best just give one-word answers. How was your day? How's that one project going? Fine. And my mom said that she noticed a trend. Jason, my older brother, he would learn a new word. Dad would come home from work. She would say, Jason said, fill in the blank. Jason said this today. My mom said she noticed Jason would never say that word again. She didn't notice this right at first. He learned another new word. Daddy comes home. Jason said a new word today. He said so and so. Some blasé response. He would never say that word again. Eventually, my mom said she realized, I've got to stop bragging on my son to his father, or my son will regress and stop learning new words. Men, your children need to hear you affirm them. Your children need to hear you build them up. They need to feel your arms around them. They need to feel a pat on the back. They need to hear you brag on them. They need it. They need to know that they can trust your heart toward them. And can I tell you from firsthand experience, as a young man whose dad never loved God, and who in the brief 18 years of my life with him, I can count on one hand the times that he affirmed me or built me up. And that as a young man of 18, suffered the suicide of my father. Can I tell you from firsthand experience that if you have father issues, those father issues make it difficult for you to relate to God as your father. They make it difficult for you to trust God's heart as your heavenly father. Now you may think that's out in left field, but I'm telling you it's the truth. Not only will you have difficulty with God as your father, but you will have difficulty with the father figures that he will bring into your life to help you with this issue. Now what I'm about to say is going to be one of the scariest things you could hear from a preacher. Wherever your weakness is, that's where God will give you the opportunity to fail, because he's trying to help you. What do you got there, Judas? A little problem with greed? Here, you be the money manager. You carry the bag. What? Did I hear you right? The one guy that's klepto, that's greedy, and he's a thief? He's the guy you're giving the money back to? So the Lord will look at you and say, what do we got here? Some father issues? Let me put a father figure in your life. So I lose my dad at 18, and at 19 years of age, he puts Billy Cole in my life as a father figure. Go figure. And after nearly a decade of being blessed under that father figure and struggling and sweating through everything I had to go through to try to grow and mature, he transitions me to something even harder to take, Billy Cole's nephew, Jack Cunningham, who's only 10 years older than me. Another father figure. It took a while after Brother Billy Cole died, but finally, I went to Pastor David Hudson in Morgantown and asked him to be my pastor. Why did it take you so long, Brother Joseph? Because I have father issues, and I had to watch him for a while. I had to figure out if he's somebody whose heart I could trust. And when I finally decided that he was, then I breached the subject. Will you serve as my pastor? I want to encourage you tonight that just as inward doubt will produce an outward sin, inward faith will produce an outward miracle. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I want to tell you that you cannot fake faith. You cannot manufacture it. You can't whip it up. You can't stir it up. You can't make it happen. The Bible tells us that faith is the gift of God. And if you say, well, I feel cheated then because I wish I had some faith and I don't have any. Can I tell you two things? One, you can ask God for wisdom and He'll give you wisdom. And number two, you can ask God for faith and He'll give you faith. Mark chapter 9, an honest dad. I want to mention something else, dads. And that is that even after your kids move out of the house, get older and move out of the house and start building their own life, they still need your counsel. They still need your wisdom. They still need your love. The biggest part of parenting happens after childhood. Can I tell you out of the many times that my father let me down from 0 to 18, all of that pales in comparison to how much I have suffered for not having him from 18 till now. In Mark 9, we read the story about an amazingly honest father. I'm reading beginning with verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth, and he gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Lord, I brought my boy to your preachers. I brought my boy to your church, and they didn't help him. He answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Now, lest you think he's getting down on the dad, he's getting down on the church. He's getting down on his preachers. He's getting down on his followers. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? I believe the answer to that can be found in this generation shall not pass away until. That's another verse and another topic. And then he says, bring him to me. Can I tell you, mom, dad, the real answer? You got to get to Jesus. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Lord, he's been this way so long, I don't even remember when it started. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if, notice that little hint of doubt there. He didn't say, Lord, you can help him. He said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, okay, you're going to come to me with an if? I'll come back to you with an if. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And this is what I love about this dad. You talk about somebody I can identify with. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Can I tell you that if you feel like you are inadequate, just be honest with God about it. He already knows anyhow. There ain't no sense in trying to hide it from him. I've noticed something interesting about God's heart. The people who say to him, you show me a sign and then I'll believe. He looks at them and says, you don't get a sign. But the people who say, I believe, Lord, he says, I'll give you a sign. The Bible says in verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto him, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We need God's power. If you have the truth but no demonstration of the Spirit, you are not going to have what you need. And I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble, but you can have all the so-called demonstration you want, and if you don't have truth, you're not going to have what you need. We need both. I don't want just a feeble demonstration that can be overpowered by this kind of problem. When we meet those kinds that it says this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting, I want us to be able to look the Lord in the eye and say, Lord, thank you for giving us the power because we have been seeking you in prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting does not twist God's arm to make him do what he does not want to do. Prayer and fasting changes who we are to make us a better conduit in his hand. I want to encourage you in righteousness. Everything that God, every principle that God has in his word is for our own good. And it is to the extent that we stop trusting that it's actually for our own good that we get to thinking, you know, it would be better if I just went ahead and partook of this. I want to encourage you in righteousness. But even more than that, I want to encourage you in trusting God's heart. And finally, I want to encourage you in your efforts to get your flesh out of the way so that you are a better candidate for God to use you to accomplish his work. Inward doubt produces outward sin. Inward faith produces outward miracles. I preached in the chapel this afternoon to the kids. Jesus walked into the house where Peter's mother-in-law lay sick with a fever, and he reached over and he touched her hand and healed her. I told them, God could have healed her from 1,000 miles away. He could have healed her invisibly with no sign. Why did he attach the power of the miracle to a physical event, a touch that everybody could see and understand? If he had not done that, they would have thought, well, she just got better on her own. The result of them saying, no, look, she got better the instant he touched her. Look at the next result. Word spread and sick people came from all around and he healed them all. And the gospel writer said this was done so that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. By his stripes we are healed. And I told those young people, I said, too many times we sit over here and we pray, Lord, so-and-so is sick. Heal him, Lord. And what the Lord wants is a representative of his kingdom to walk into that house and touch that person so that he can attach his miracle power to an event that's visible and tangible so that people will say, those folks have something from God. We need to be with them. We need to be what they are. I told them, instead of just sitting over here praying, Lord, heal them, we need to start walking into those houses and touching them in Jesus' name. I pray that God will bring such... And folks, it's not just for preachers. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. If you believe, it's the will of God that these signs follow you. We are the body of Christ. If Jesus was on the earth, he'd be walking in and touching. Well, wait a minute. We're his body. In a way, he is on the earth. We're supposed to be the ones doing the laying hands on. I want to implore you in Jesus' name. Let's let our prayer not be, Lord, heal them. Let's let our prayer be, Lord, we're praying, we're fasting, so that you will empower us to be your conduit in this earth. Lord, empower us, anoint us, so that when we go in there and lay hands on them, the healing will happen. Inward faith, outward miracle. Inward doubt, outward sin. Let's not doubt God's heart, and let's demonstrate to Him through prayer and fasting that He doesn't have to doubt our heart. We've seen so many people win the lottery, and within 3 months, their life is ruined. Couldn't trust them with money. They, Lord, I'm tired of all this. He's able to bless you. Can He trust you with a blessing? We know we can trust His heart, really. But does He know He can trust our heart? Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We ought to be like a kid in a candy store with a $300 shopping spree card in his hand. He said it's a gift. You don't earn a gift. Many preachers have used this analogy. They whip out a $20 bill and say, first one up here gets it. Nobody moves. No, really, the first one up here gets it. If I had a 20, I'd pull it out right now, but I don't. And finally, it begins to sink in. I've seen a preacher have to say it 3 times. Seriously, really, the first one up here gets 20 bucks. No strings attached. And then all at once, faith begins to arise. You see people cutting their eyes over, and then, boom, there's a stampede rush to the front. Why did he have to say it so many times? They didn't believe their own ears. Finally, some kid runs up there, and it's always the same. They don't get up there and go, now that I've come, oh, please, can I have it? Please, can I have it? Please, please, please. They run up there and just snatch it from him. Yes! Ha! Why is it that when God is straining at every nerve to give us something, that we act like we have to warrant it? Oh, I'm not worthy, Lord, please, give it to me, please. He's going, take it, take it. No, no, please, please. No, take it, seriously. Please, please, take it. We make him want to shake us. Do you hear me, boy? You know why? It's because our carnal nature is in the way. Prayer and fasting doesn't twist his arm to make him want to give us something he doesn't want to give us. It gets our carnal nature out of the way so that we'll be saying, thank you, Lord. And receiving. I want to ask you to pray with me tonight. I'm not saying this in a selfish way. My ultimate goal is that his prophecies of being the healer will come true. But that we need to let the way he prescribed in his word be the way in which those prophecies come true. And that calls for us to be so transparent before his throne that our carnal nature is not between him and us. Moses came down off the mountain and his face literally glowed. If we will ask him, he will empower us to the place that people will see him in us. The scripture says of Peter and John, it says they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So I want to ask you to join me in prayer right now that God will help us by his power to walk in his ways, to be his feet and his hands upon the earth, and to minister to people the healing and the teaching and the salvation and the demonstration of the Spirit with signs and wonders that he desires.
Let me mention quickly that my third novel, which completes the trilogy, is out. It's entitled The Last Buy. If you enjoyed the Chronicles of Narnia series by C.S. Lewis, then you're really going to enjoy this novel. I've been telling people all along that instead of C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy, this novel is more like The Flying Dinosaur and His Boy. It's getting rave reviews. One editorial reviewer stated unequivocally that it is better than C.S. Lewis's The Horse and His Boy. Again, the title is The Last Buy. That's B-Y-E, as in journey. It's available in paperback or ebook. The ebook is offered through the Kindle platform, readable on PC, Mac, iPhone, iPad, iPod, BlackBerry, and of course, all the variety of Kindle devices. Read a large sample for free at Amazon.com or AuthorStock.com. The paperback version is available wherever great books are sold.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.